Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. My name is Matt Weston. Tonight, I'm joined by my beautiful friend, Taylor. How are you doing tonight, man?
You can't even come up with like a good nickname for me. But so instead, you just call me beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I was going to call you the most beautiful man in the world, but it's like, that's pushing it too far.
What? No, man. Just say like how you feel.
Nah, because it wasn't true. It was just rhetoric for the show.
Why? They
and I want to be faithful to the fans or 4 million listeners every month. And I also want to be earnest and sincere. And that wouldn't be a sincere thing to say.
But they have like the most interesting man in the world, and he has Dos Equis. So yeah. If I'm the most beautiful man in the world, what would be my beer?
I know.
What?
High gravity.
What's a high gravity?
You don't know what high gravity
What's
is?
What's a high... Oh, wait. Are you talking about like the big silver can?
Yeah.
Dude, that was
Steel Reserve.
Oh, it'd be like Natty Ice. That's what
it's
tastes
worse
like.
Than that.
It tastes like Natty Ice.
Yeah, but it's like it's stronger. It's more manlier.
I don't know if it's manlier.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that's not what
you
it
drink
is.
That after working 14 hours at the construction site. You drink two, eat an IHOP dinner, and then you go to bed, you wake up and do it again, boy.
Hey, Matt, when did you work at a construction site?
I never have.
Okay. So what are you
My
doing?
My father did, though. Okay. That's what he would do.
That's what you...
Yeah.
I could have sworn that you have drank those before.
Yeah, for fun.
So it's either that or Zima for you, huh?
Oh, man, I'm so mad they didn't come out with them this summer.
What are you talking about? You know what everyone's insane? That White Claw is Zima.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it's not, though.
It's not. It's they just not. Say, like, it's exactly the same thing.
It's not, though. Zima's so much
I remember, like, seeing, like, a picture, and it was somebody removing, like, the label, and underneath it was Zima. And they were like, we all knew it.
Oh, man. But no, it's not Zima. Nothing. Nothing's as good as Zima.
No. Oh, God. That was the worst experience of my life, and I only had, like, one of them.
They're fun.
No, they're not.
Oh, my. The worst thing is I bring them all home, too. No, I left him at the beach, actually.
I'm pretty sure Zima may be worse than, like, Surge, it's like Sprite. The soda drink.
It's like an alcoholic Sprite.
No, it's worse than that.
Nah. But I remember, yeah, I bought, like, 36 and took him to the beach and drank, like, 12 and nobody else would have any. And I just left them all there. Because you can't keep that stuff
you
in the house.
No.
You can't just casually, like, come home from work and drink a Zima at 7 o'clock.
You know what? I can't wait to go home and get me a Zima.
Yeah, nobody ever said that at all whatsoever.
No, nobody in the room.
So tonight we're going to do our season preview. We're going to talk about the NFC East today, and then we're going to preview each and every single division in the National Football League. And we're going to start off hot and heavy with Taylor's Dallas Cowboys. So the Dallas Cowboys.
So now they're my team?
Yeah, they're your team.
Oh, yeah.
They're your team.
All right, so yeah. Do you want me to start, or did you have anything to say?
Well,
because what's your opinion on the team going in?
So my opinion, the biggest thing I think with the Cowboys is that they should be worse next year just based off their regression stats. They were 9-3 one-score games. Their turnover differential is +3. They won 1.6 more games than expected, but they play an easy schedule. They get to play Washington twice. They play the Giants twice. That's 4 wins right there potentially. And they're also they're one of the youngest teams in football. And they also, some of these numbers too are misconstrued because they didn't have any receivers to Dak Prescott. They didn't have Travis Frederick. Elliott wasn't like fully in shape by the time the season started. And again, like, I really do think the biggest thing is that this defense is very young. And younger teams tend to get better. Older teams tend to get worse. And so I wanted to not think Dallas is going to be good. And like sitting there really thinking about it, doing some soul searching. I think they're going to be good this year.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised you actually said all this. You're not one of those haters out there that are talking about the whole Zeke debacle, thinking that he's not going to sign with us, thinking that it's not going to work out, when in fact, what people don't realize is that Jerry's going to make sure he doesn't leave. He's in a way stuck, and it's just kind of interesting to see how this is going to play out because he really doesn't have leverage.
Yeah.
Because
this is his fourth year. He has a fifth-year option. And then he has a franchise tag. All
for
the
other
yeah.
two. So yeah, yeah. We have him for technically 4 years, regardless if he wants it or not. So either way, we're going to be stuck with him. And it just comes down to, is Jerry going to cave? We just need to start out strong to where Zeke is the one that misses us. The nice thing is what it was shown was that we actually have a little diamond in the rough when it comes to the running game. The rookie from Memphis.
Okay, so my question for you is this. Uh-huh. Do you think he's good, or are the Cowboys just leaking this to the media to try to get Elliott to sign?
That. I think exactly that, where they are just, it's Jerry just wanting to feed the press. He's wanting to make sure that Zeke is out there reading, where his agent's then going to be like, oh, yeah, so he's saying that he has a new guy who can handle the workload.
Yeah, he's, now he's even this guy would love to have 400 carries this year.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. And it's the funniest thing, because I don't think it's going to work. However, with the first three games, who we're going up against, he could easily look good as well.
Yeah, I think so too. And also, it's that same thing as well with Prescott. Something was released that Prescott wants $30 million a year. But I don't think that's true. I think that's the same thing. They're just leaking things to the media. What? Yeah, they're just leaking things to the media, though. They try to like make it seem like they want to pay him. You know, they're trying to pay him, but Prescott's the one who's not, you know, bridging or whatever for it. And so that's kind of interesting thing as well, too, here. But, I mean, also, like, looking at the offseason, too, like, do you think the Cowboys got better? Because they added Jason Witten, they added Christian Covington, they added Kerry Hyder, and, like, Rob Marinelli's so good just taking any defensive line and be like, oh, yeah, he's just going to get 5 or 6 sacks, you know, just very casually. They had Robert Quinn, Randall Cobb, and George Loka. Yeah, for only 2 games. And it was a masking agent that he had to take for his, like, seizure medication.
Yeah, but that's what he says. But also, I've read where you could actually turn that in if that is true.
Okay.
You would be able to show medical bills and medical status in order to show that you do have heart seizures. Because otherwise, I mean, where's the proof?
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's the only thing about it. And it was just disappointing because, once again, it's somebody else that's in the damn news for the Dallas Cowboys for a negative reason. It's really just frustrating as a Cowboys fan, because this is the one thing where it just truly eats at me. Every year people make fun of this because it's like, oh, look, another Cowboys player got suspended. Oh, look, another guy's busted for something, going to jail, quitting the team because he wants to smoke weed for his life. I mean, it's just, it's a little frustrating, as well as the Zeke thing is frustrating. I'll be honest, going in, you seem a little more confident than me, because I think I don't trust Philly or Dallas right now. They just seem so up in the air, and either team could go either route. And I just hope I'm wrong, because like you said, I mean, Dallas's talent is just so solid. It's just that defensive line, it's only going to be DeMarcus Lawrence or bust.
I don't think so, though, because they're always...
Only for the first couple weeks, though.
Yeah, but like they're always able to get guys who like can be good. I mean, so their defensive line to start the year, it's going to be Lawrence, Antoine Woods, who was good last year, Malik Collins, Tyron Crawford, who's good. And again, they have Covington. They can always find somebody who can get like 3 or 4 sacks. But I think what's important, like you mentioned... Like,
Taco.
Yeah, whenever
he's
it happens
leaving the
to
team.
Him. It sucked that the whole Gregory thing, too, because he was fun to watch last year until he got suspended again.
Yeah, and like that's done and over with.
Yeah,
like there's
sucks.
Just no way.
Because like it looked like he. Also, I just liked how much of a windmill he was with his arms.
I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
So Dallas is like the first three games you allude to: the Giants, at Washington, Miami. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
And by the way, the Memphis running back Tony Pollard, he can tear all those three teams up.
Oh,
which is
these are probably the three worst teams in football.
And that's the thing. It's like Zeke should be a little bit worried about that, because Pollard could easily have like 80 yards receiving, 80 yards on the ground, and that just could be all we need.
Yeah. And then there are other easy games they play too. They get to play at the Jets. They also get to play at Detroit. They play Buffalo. And they also play, so they play like, that's 7 pretty easy games right there. They have on their schedule, and then, you know, maybe they can beat Green Bay, you know, however else that goes too. So that's why I didn't feel good about Dallas, but then looking at the schedule and everything else, I feel better. And also, like, Dak Prescott was a completely different quarterback last year with Amari Cooper. So with Amari, his DVOA was -13.5%, which is 28th in football all the time. With Cooper, it was 9.1%, which is 17th. So, like, he went from being one of the worst quarterbacks in football to being a very, you know, mediocre, competent one. And
oh, yeah? Just mediocre, huh?
Yeah.
That's all he is?
I mean, like, you need to throw for, like, at least 300 yards sometimes.
I don't think you need to throw for that. Yeah. I think you're fine the way you are.
And also with Coop, like, the counting stats, eight touchdowns to 4 interceptions, 6.9 yards an attempt without Cooper.
Uh-huh.
And then with Cooper, his completion percentage jumped 10 points. He threw 14 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. And he averaged 7.7 yards in 10. Like, 7.7 is, like, really good. Like, I think Matt Ryan averaged, like, 7.9 last year, you know?
Yeah, and that was with Matt Ryan just gunning the ball downfield. You felt so bad for
well,
him.
Yeah, we'll talk about him.
No, we're going to talk about him next episode, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
I know. Let's not talk about him at all.
Yeah, get together.
The other really important thing, too, is that Travis Frederick is coming back this year.
Oh, I know.
And so last year, Dallas's rushing offense DVOA was -6.9%, which is 18th, which is really surprising because you assume it's Dallas. They have a great running attack, and they had a very mediocre one last year. 2017, though, with Frederick and their entire offensive line, 11.8% second. And so, like, with Frederick injured, missing off last season, you know, their entire offense was, you know, 20% worse as far as running the ball goes. And so I think that's, you know, super valuable, too. And, like, again, like, you know, Dallas should be worse this year, but once again, they have Frederick back, it's going to be an entire year with Cooper and Dak.
We have
and
a tight end.
Hopefully, Elliott, you kind of have a tight end.
Hey, he's okay. He's better than what we have.
Yeah, for sure.
No matter what, that's all that matters.
The funny thing about Wynn, too, is that he'll catch, like, six passes for 36 yards, but he'll have four first downs. Like, yeah. That's the only thing that matters.
And that's all you need, especially when it comes to, like, the end zone, for example. He's the end zone guy.
Yeah.
Because if you're in the red zone, just throw him the ball, or Dak Prescott should just take off and run. Because, oh, yeah, that's the other thing we got to talk about. So the one thing I'm truly nervous about as a Cowboys fan, with the struggles of the red zone that they had last year, it bothers me with Maher. Dude, I don't trust Maher at all.
I thought you did.
No, okay. So he apparently in practice has been missing 30 to 40 yard kicks. He also went 3-4.
He's in that summertime stay of mind, dude.
I guess he went 3-4 the other night in preseason, which not bad, but the problem was he missed a wide open 35 yarder, and it was like a shank right. It was gross.
And especially when you have like a ball control offense like Dallas has, who may have like, you know, 6 or 7 possessions a game, you can't leave points on the board.
Exactly, and you need to have at least the field goal, which is, because that's the whole thing. I'm hoping that the new offense is going to be able to do something. I'm just not trusting it too much because our offensive coordinator still is 31 years old.
Yeah,
and he hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
Except be a backup.
Yeah, except play football for the Dallas Cowboys.
That's it.
Which is the most important thing if you're in coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
Wait, I thought he played for another team.
Well, he backed up in Dallas.
Yeah.
And he backed up in Detroit.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And then he broke his leg.
Yeah.
And he went to Boise.
I love Boise, though.
He's like Case Keenum, but like his career didn't pan out the way it could have.
I guess, but he's still not that good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so tired to talk about Case Keenum. I feel like we talk about him every single episode.
Don't worry, we're going to talk about him this episode too.
No,
we'll
talk about
him. Yeah, he's a savior. There you go, so, man.
So Dallas has, you know, a variety of young players. Do you think Wums can make the leap this year being, you know, an all-pro caliber player? Like, could you see, like, you know, Awuzie become a Pro Bowler? Who's the young player that you see making a leap this year?
I would say Vander Esch takes another step forward.
So he's like all pro.
Yeah.
Like he takes over Luke Kuechly's spot.
Yeah, exactly.
As the best linebacker in the NFC.
And my whole goal in this is, and the problem was with Stephen Jones the other day, I think it may have been today, he was running his mouth about how he's excited about it. He has three linebackers.
Yeah,
I swear to God,
thing.
If you mention Sean Lee again, I'm going to hit you. What the hell? What does Sean Lee have? What do they see? I get it. He's a great mentor, I bet. I bet he understands exactly what he's doing every time. But guess what? He has lost 5 steps.
Yeah,
and he is injured all the time.
Guess
you don't want to.
Guess
him
how many
field.
Snaps he played last year?
Like 90?
220.
Oh, my God, no.
So he played 220, and then Jalen Smith and Vander Esch played 976 and 764. So
you just need those two on the field. That's it.
So if Vander Esch played 764 snaps, Smith played 976, Vander Esch made 145 plays, and Smith made 124.
I will say this.
Says a lot.
You want to know who I think is going to be dropping down, though?
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because, again, like I said, my favorite position. I don't think Byron Jones is going to take a leap. I feel like he's going to be.
He's just what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, that coach is so good, too. I think Awuzie is going to be a lot better this year,
That's my point. Yeah, exactly.
And I think Awuzie is going to be a lot better balanced out. I do like the secondary. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it's good, too. I just don't think Byron Jones is going to be worth what he's going to be asking for.
Yeah.
Because his contract's up after this year.
Yeah, they probably won't be able to pay him as well, too.
And I don't know. I'm interested. If he takes that step forward, okay, I'll shut up.
Yeah. So who's your favorite player to watch in this team for this season?
Oh, it's easily Dak.
Dak for sure.
It has to be Dak.
Okay.
Because the entire time, I just have to pay attention to him on offense. Everybody talks so much smack to me about him, but I truly believe in him. I just need him to do certain things, which is control
it. Don't throw interceptions.
Don't throw picks.
Don't fumble the ball.
Just don't turn it over at all. That's Romo's job.
Run
for first
downs.
That's why Romo never won for us. Run for the first downs. You got the speed. Do it. You could take the hits.
Yeah.
You're a big boy.
Yeah. I think the player I'm most looking forward to for to watch Dallas play this year, is Marcus Lawrence, because, you know, one, he just got paid, and he's really good. Like, he's really good. And also, I think he's really underrated by how good he is as a run stopper. Everybody's just like, oh, yeah, he got 15 sacks. Yeah, he rushes the passer, but he's also an extremely good run stopper as well, too. And there's also this stupid, like, idea that edge rushers aren't that important at all. Like, interior rushing's more is more valuable than exterior rushing because it's a short pass to the quarterback. The quarterback can't escape as easily and that sort of thing. But and it's only because the Patriots didn't sign Trey Flowers. That's why this whole thing started. Because, you know, Trey Flowers is, like, you know, one of the five best edge defenders. Like, oh, if Bill Belichick doesn't think he's worth $18 million, yeah, then they're actually not worth it all. But, yeah, edge rushers are very important, especially when you have a guy like Lawrence who can, like, lead an entire pass rush on his own. And again, I think he's very underrated as a run stopper as well, too.
Yeah, and the only thing is, it's because since, like what I was saying about the defensive line, how there's a lot of guys out right now, especially at the beginning, people are just going to be paying attention to DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are just going to be scheming for him on the offensive line side. I hope you're right. Again, I love the way you're talking about my team here. I love how positive you are. I love everything about this. I just hope everything stays put. I just truly would feel more comfortable if I had some contract signed right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I'd be confident.
That's kind of the cloud in me over things.
Yeah, and it's also because no matter what I can say about it, about Pollard being like, oh, look how great he is, everybody knows we need Zeke.
Yeah.
And he needs us too. We both need each other. Why can't we hold hands?
Yeah. Well, and I guess the other thing about Dallas too for this year, it's, you know, the biggest guys that lost, Randy Gregory, they replaced with Quinn, and they lost, you know, Jeff Swaim left, but, like, they didn't even have a tie in last year. They have Wooden now, which is still kind of funny. And they lost Cole Beasley. They replaced him with Randall Cobb,
which I like.
And, yeah,
but Beasley's already talking smack about us.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm having so much fun in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm so excited to get more opportunities. So
suckers.
Yeah, I really want to be like, yeah, Dallas is going to go 6-10 this year. I wanted to, and then, you know, whenever you're intellectual, you can't let your heart pull you around like that.
I think it's only because you saw our division this year, and because
it's part of, yeah, it all,
Giants
it all goes
and
into
Washington. Because, yeah, we'll get to them here, but I have no idea here. I mean, especially with Washington. Giants make a little bit more sense to me. We'll get them. You know, we'll
yeah,
get
yeah.
To, yeah.
And also, so their over-under for Dallas is 9 wins. Would you take the over or the under, and what's your prediction for the number of wins that they'll have this year?
I would take the over, but I'm only saying it's going to be like 10-6 or 11-5. I'm not saying above that, but I would more put them at 10-6, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
but I'm definitely saying over 9, especially because of their division.
Yeah, I would take the over 2, and I have them at 10-6, and I have them winning one of the wild card spots.
Oh, I need division because I need first round bye. That's what I need.
Well, you know, Dallas doesn't even have a home field advantage, Taylor.
You know, yeah, we are, okay?
Yeah, so that's what I have for Dallas. And, yeah, I'm excited to watch the Cowboys play this year, I guess, which is kind of weird to say.
Yeah, I'll be at work watching them on my computer screen.
Yeah.
And screaming. Even though I just put them on Sunday night every night. Just do it.
You know what's disgusting? Is they're playing the Giants on Monday Night Football in their second matchup against each other. They always have to put one of those games on primetime.
That's bad.
Yeah, they do just, it every year.
Yeah, but aren't they doing like a Philly game too? Most likely they would be. Because that's really the games that matter in the division. I don't think anybody wants to see the Giants.
They're playing the Bears in Buffalo on Thursday, the Giants on Monday night, and that's it. Those are Dallas' primetime games.
Okay, that needs to change immediately, and that probably will change as the season goes on. Don't they have that option of switching?
Yeah, towards the end they can.
Yeah.
They can.
Dude, they're going to do it.
I kind of hope so.
We have the highest rated games every year.
They can't switch Monday Night Football, though. It's only Sunday night they can change.
Good. We don't want to be on ESPN. Gross.
Yeah. I hate when they put that Giants game on primetime. So, speaking of the New York Football Giants, it's a pretty good segue.
Right? Oh, yeah. That was good.
They rebuild their team this year in the NFL draft, and they did it by selecting Daniel Jones, DeAndre Baker, also by trading Odell Beckham. They got Jabril Peppers and Dexter Lawrence. And that's how they rebuilt their football team. They also have Saquon as well. They took the year before. So, like,
poor Saquon.
Do you think this is a good foundation for a football team that they just kind of went out and grabbed?
No. I think that this team, and don't get me wrong, there could be a future here. But Saquon's going to be burnt before that future starts. I mean, it's going to be 4 to 5 years down the road before the New York Giants really turn into a winning football team. Because here's...
But it's always sooner than football, though. You can change really fast.
Here's the thing, though. What do you have on the wide receiver side? What you have your running back, but now you can't even decide on a quarterback, really, because you're still starting Eli. Even with Daniel Jones going 5 for 5, whoa, where did that come from?
I hope he's good.
No, he's
not. I know, but I'm not
saying... He's like they after the game, they were just just blowing him up, being, oh, he's the third Manning. Here he is. It makes me sick because...
I hate the Mannings, man.
I feel so bad. It was funny because I always remember with offseason so far with the Giants where Golden Tate was interviewed saying, like, yeah, it sucks that all these wide receivers were out. Injuries, man, it's just something you don't want to see at camp. The next day, he was suspended for drugs. I just love that so much because it was like...
The New York Giants.
Yeah, I was like, there you go, man.
Well, what do you mean you're not excited for Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram?
Yeah, that's all you... And by the way...
Cody Latimer.
Evan Ingram is, I don't think,
Yeah,
he
was supposed to break out last year.
Exactly,
and
he did not. And in fact, it looked like he even went backwards a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not actually a big fan. Sterling Shepard again.
Well, he was injured for like 8 weeks, and he can't block. And then if you're not against the red zone a lot, what value?
Oh yeah, that's what it was. He couldn't block, so they couldn't really put him in the game.
Yeah,
in certain scenarios.
Yeah, he can't play first and second down.
Yeah,
and whenever you have your entire offense built around Saquon, your tight end has to block.
Exactly right, dude. Saquon. He's going to be so amazing. It's just they're going to burn him out before their team gets good.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
And so the weird thing also about the Giants, it's kind of like the inverse of the Cowboys where, you know, the regression numbers say the Cowboys should get worse. The numbers say the Giants should get better. They went 4-8 one-score games. They lost 2 more games than they should have won according to their Pythagorean win total, which was the 31st, you know, lowest over expectation in the league. They had the 11th hardest schedule last year. They're 15th in DVOA. They didn't have a lot of bad injury luck, but you know, Odell was hurt for a lot of the year too. But like, I just don't see it all with them. And
does anybody see it with him?
Yeah, that's my question. Like, do you see anything like good here at all? Like, do you does
I see the number one pick.
Make sense at all for the
I see
Giants?
The number one pick.
Well, I think the Dolphins are my number one pick.
Whoa, no.
100%.
The Dolphins have a quarterback now. What are you talking about?
I don't think. I mean, the whole rest of the team is so bad, though.
Yeah. Whoa. Kenny Stills is wonderful.
He's pretty good.
He's not causing any type of.
He's pretty good, though.
Yeah, but he's not even doing a distraction in the locker room already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I like their secondary. I think their pass rush is horrendous, though. I think their offensive line is going to be better this year, too. And, like, Saquon's, like, he's generational, you know? It's unbelievable how good he is.
It's the same thing with like Tyreek Hill, where it would be cool if they were on like the same team where they're just video game characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because even with me watching old footage, I can't remember, they're doing this, you would know, the scrimmage drill or whatever, where it was when he was at Penn State.
Oh, yeah, I saw that video.
And the team, it's just him just outmaneuvering all the guys, and he's in like a confined space, and he still just owns them.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It doesn't make any sense.
I hate that drill so much, the Oklahoma drill.
Yeah, I don't know.
It sucks. I remember...
I was in golf.
I remember one time in high school they did it where two of the biggest guys that we had on the team, they put one at linebacker, one at running back, and then they put like 4 wide receivers as the offense and defensive line. Stalemate, they run into each other full speed, head on, they both fall on the ground, and they both have concussions. And the coaches should have gone to jail for that. Like, looking back on it, it's like, yeah, you should be in jail for doing something like this. It was so unbelievably stupid.
What are you talking about, man? They toughened us up.
They missed like 4 weeks because their concussion that they got from this stupid thing.
Hey, man, it happens, okay?
Yeah.
And especially if we're going to win the game, we have to give up our bodies and our soul.
Yeah,
that's the point. The point of football.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever seen Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, I saw it.
Any Given Sunday?
I read the book.
Wait, Any Given Sunday? Is that a book?
No, it's only a movie.
Okay. Well, wait. Yeah.
I think like an all-time play... I played football. I think I actually enjoyed playing football for over those like 6 years. I think I only had fun playing it for like 8 weeks of those 6 years. And the rest of the time was like, oh God, I really don't have to do this.
Man, we travel for your game. So
yeah. Well, I mean, like, I'm just saying like more often than not, like you're just getting, it just hurts and you're tired and it's miserable. And like the games are fun, but everything else is just, it, you know, makes you stronger in the long run.
Dude, golf is the exact same way. I understand. It's like you're just working so hard and your body's just taking like the blow after blow.
Exactly.
So it's, I get it.
So back to the Giants. I think this is going to be the worst pass rush in football this year. Okay. Last year, they were 31st in just the sack rate, 16th in pressure rate. Their defensive line, Dexter Lawrence, he weighs 340 pounds. That was their first round pick.
That's good.
Dalvin Tomlinson, you don't know who he is. I don't know who he is.
I don't know.
BJ Hill, don't know who he is.
Yeah, who's
Kareem Martin. Their best pass rusher is probably Lorenzo Carter, and he's their weak side linebacker. And he was a pretty good pass rusher in Buffalo in previous years. But I think he's like 34 years old. So I just think it's going to be atrocious. And then, like, I didn't like DeAndre Baker that much coming out of college. Janoris Jenkins is pretty boomer bust. He was kind of bad last year, but he was good the year before. And then they have Jabril Peppers and Anshon Bethea in the backfield. But, like, I could see this, like, being the 20th best defense. But, this pass rush is just going to be so atrocious.
Well, and the problem, too, is it's when it comes to that offense, do you really think that offense is going to be scoring up points, or is the defense going to be out on the field more than anything else?
No, I don't think the offense is going to be scoring a lot
of points. Exactly. It's going to be three and out, because it's also Saquon's only going to have one big run a game.
I think that's how they're going to score. It's going to be like Saquon 62-yard
exactly.
runs, or he's going to have a 40-yard run that puts him in field goal position.
And he'll probably have over 100 yards a game as well, and Eli's going to have probably two touchdowns and two picks.
Yeah.
And that's just what's going to, they're going to, their whole entire season's going to be, and they're going to lose games 21 to like 35 each week.
Well, and the weird thing is, like me saying this, they had a mediocre offense last year, but it felt so much worse than it actually was. And even like looking at this year, like.
But wasn't it just because they were just coming back because they were always in a deficit and they were just always trying to come back?
I don't know. They lost a lot of games.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they went 4-8, one score games. So like they were in a lot of games too at the same time. But
do you think it was worth trading Odell then? Do you think like where how the team is, do you think them having Odell would make a difference? Do you think maybe they should have tried to get more out of it? Do you think like...
You know, it's about the Odell trade?
Yeah, do you think like it was smart after seeing like this team in the offseason, what they've done, how many receivers they've lost?
I just think that like on a bad team, Odell can't play on a bad team.
Yeah.
Like Odell's great when things are going great, but when things aren't going great, it's, you know, it's obvious.
But what
a
if Odell had Daniel Jones throwing him that perfect spiral?
I mean, it'd be cool. But like Odell's a gent, like, you know, he's a really, really good wide receiver, and there's no arguing against that. But like, I mean, there's also like a personal element to it, and also the fact that the Giants are competing now. And what was their biggest trade chip that they had? Their best way to add draft capital, and it was trading him and also getting his salary off the books as well too. And they're in a rebuilding environment.
What if they trade away Saquon? What would you get for Saquon?
You would get a first round pick and something else.
A first round pick.
Yeah.
You probably get Tom Brady out of that.
I don't think so.
Oh yeah.
Because running backs are overvalued.
Dude, Saquon's the best running back in the league.
Yeah, I know. But even saying that, he would probably only get a first round pick. And you probably get, like, a cornerback who's pretty good.
Dude, I know.
It would be like the Alex Smith trade the Chiefs made to the Redskins, except you would get a first-round pick instead of, like, a third-round pick.
Yeah, you're damn mine.
That's what would happen.
No, Saquon's worth more.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird team. I just don't see it, even though there's a lot of things that point to them being better this year, but I just don't see it.
So would you – I'll put it to you this way. Would you ever bet on the New York Giants games – whenever it comes to, like, them losing, if the point spread is 7 points?
I don't know. It depends who they're playing.
I'm saying Dallas.
Because, like, they have a really easy schedule, too. Like, they have the 29th hardest schedule this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Their schedule is really easy.
Who are they playing against? Nobody?
Well, I guess they get the NFC East, and then they get...
It's that division. No matter what, I wish I could say, like, oh, yeah, these games are going to be easy, even though I kind of said that with the last segment there.
So, yeah, so they have the NFC East, the AFC East, which is, you know, Buffalo, Miami, the worst division, the AFC every year. And then they're playing the NFC North, and then they get all the... And then they get to play Arizona as well. And they play Tampa.
Matt, Tampa's supposed to be the best team, though.
Well, hey, you know, we don't need to get ahead of
ourselves. Dude, we're getting into that next week. Don't worry.
But yeah, like it's in, like it's there, like it's possible for them to be good. It's possible.
No, it's not.
It's possible.
Oh my Lord!
I don't think it's gonna happen.
What
but
are
it's
we
possible.
Even saying right now? Are you hold on? Will it be good if Daniel Jones is the starter or Eli Manning, or it doesn't matter?
That's the better question. What would be a successful season for the Giants?
I would say you put in Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I would say like
you have nothing to lose if you're gonna go 6-10.
Yeah.
Like, what are you afraid of? Eli, you know what you're going to get out of him.
I guess it's also just you don't want to put the guy in there before he's not ready.
Somebody
you know?
Even wrote, like, an article being today, oh, look, Eli Manning threw, like, a perfect spiral today at practice. Who cares? He's 40.
He's been throwing a football for 30 years.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm glad that he knows how to throw a spiral.
Yeah. It's a good. Very good.
It's ridiculous.
So he's also owed $23 million this year.
That's not good.
He has $33 million left on his contract.
Okay.
And that's dead money.
Oh, I'd get rid of that.
So, like, after they pay him this year, they could probably cut him next year if they want to make Jones the starter. But they're not going to. They're going to keep him around for, like, 2 years, I think.
That's what I'm saying. You might as well trade Saquon.
Just
do something then. You're just going to waste his years.
Yeah,
congrats,
for the football
Giants.
Fan, for sure.
Yeah, congrats. He's just going to be good in fantasy. He's just going to put up all the stats in the world.
Yeah. I think a successful season is Saquon doesn't have 300 carries. He has like 250 and he catches like 50 passes. So you kind of like preserve his beautiful body
yep.
for a little mm-hmm. longer.
That's going to
happen.
And
then Daniel Jones starts maybe like, you know, week 10 or whatever. And he's like, wow, there's something here. Like he plays as well as Sam Darnold did last year. Like that's the perfect season for the Giants.
I just feel like that at this point, if Eli was pulled, none of the Giants fans are going to be screaming anymore. And Eli can look like he's crying or whatever,
yeah.
but I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Well, it's also funny, too, that Matt, whenever McAdoo benched him for Geno Smith, he's like, I'm trying to do the best thing for the franchise. And he was right. Like He was right.
He was wrong, and the reason why is because who he put in instead of him.
Well, like
you knew what you were going to get out of Geno Smith. That doesn't make any sense.
I think
you
could have
put in your rookie.
Though.
If you put in your rookie, that's entirely
different.
Well, they
didn't have a rookie,
yeah,
though.
They did.
Who was the rookie?
It was like their third stringer.
Oh, like that Fellows guy or
yeah,
whatever.
No, they had a third guy, and he was a rookie.
But I think he was right to just prove the point that we can't win with Eli Manning.
And you're going
to
win with Geno Smith?
Yeah, but it's to prove the point that you're not going to win with Manning.
Yeah, but Geno's terrible.
I feel bad for Geno.
Why? Because he's god-awful? And because ever since he was punched in the face, he was never the same?
Yeah, it was very mean.
What do you mean it's very mean? He didn't pay up on his dues, man.
Well, yeah, I guess
that's what
so.
Happens.
And also, this guy's
what
like
do you think happens when
on?
You don't pay your dues on Taylor, man? He takes you out. You want one of these? Huh?
Yeah, it works out pretty good. So I guess the answer to this question, you know, who are you? I guess who the most important player is, who most excited to see? It's Saquon, of course.
Yeah, it's Saquon. It's time
close. I try to watch like every game of the week through
yours
condensed
is Eli
versions.
Manning.
No, I mean it's Saquon. But like I try to watch like every condensed version for the week, and a lot of times I don't do it, but that's my goal. I strive for as a professional football writer.
That's good.
And I don't think I'm going to watch any Giants games. I think I'm just going to watch Saquon highlights and be like, okay, I got it.
Unless you draft one of them in fantasy.
No, I don't care.
Even that?
No, I don't care. I don't watch football. And like,
if you have the number one pick, would you take Saquon?
I'm taking David Johnson.
Okay, you are so
I'm taking
full.
David Johnson.
So you better be
I'm taking
him.
I'm taking David Johnson.
Okay. Sam, if you're listening, make him the number one pick. I don't care. Just make
good.
Him the number one pick. And if
I'm
he doesn't take it, then he...
I'm proving a point, dude.
I think you're not doing
I'm taking
that.
David
you're
Johnson.
Not doing that.
But yeah, it's Saquon for me as well, too. And so the Giants over under 6 wins.
It's under.
Yeah.
I'm going to put them at 4.
You're going to put them at 4?
Yeah, I'm going to say 4-12.
Do you think that'd be enough to have the first overall pick?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, but okay, hold on. Does Miami and they do play against each other? Miami and the New York?
Yeah, they do.
So I want to say that game is going to matter the most. That's going to break the tiebreaker.
Do you know when they play against each other? Are you ready for this? Week 15. And then the Giants play at Washington, then Philly.
Oh, my Lord.
Hey,
people
put that on your calendar
people
right
are going
to
be sitting out. That's going to be the game
put
right
your calendar.
There. Oh, my God. What a betting game.
Ooh.
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 That's a good game.
Yeah. I was going to write an article like the 10 games, you know, 10 most important games of the 2019 season.
That's first pick.
That's one of them right
that's
there.
That's first pick of the draft, baby.
But again, like I could still see the Giants winning
okay,
7 games.
No, stop talking. That's
I,
not
I
how
would
it's
take the
happen.
Under. I'm gonna say 5-11. I would bet on this though.
Take the over. Take the over. It's cool.
I would bet on Dallas. I wouldn't bet on the Giants. But I'm saying 5-11. I would take the under.
That makes me feel better.
You went out there. Their odds are for 0-4 wins is 16%, and then their odds for 5-7 wins is 40%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then their odds to the playoffs are 33%.
That's too high.
I know, but that's
what too high.
I know, but like, I can like.
What are they going to make the playoffs at?
I guess the problem is that like the numbers say this, but like when you think about the team, you're like,
there's no way.
But the numbers say, and the numbers are right a lot of times.
Numbers are always wrong. Always remember this.
Yeah, that's not true.
And you know where my example is? Tim Tebow.
Hey, shouts out to our fallen soldier.
Hey, man.
Dude, we should go to that Marley Baseball team he's on.
I want to go.
Watch
there.
Him hit a few dingers.
I'd rather go to the softball championships with you than that.
I can't wait. We got to go next year. All right. So we're going to take.
I'll go if we bet.
We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll go through the rest of the NFC East.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So now we're moving up to, I guess you don't move up to Philadelphia, but we're going to Philadelphia. This is a Menzinger's podcast now. And we're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Philadelphia Eagles last year, Carson Wentz was pretty good. And then he hurt his back. And then Nick Foles came in, of course.
The savior.
And finished what he started in week one of the regular season.
The Lord and savior.
And they should have beat the Saints in that playoff game. And he threw one of the dumbest interceptions you'll ever see. And it was a stupid throw. It was a terrible decision in the red zone. And they lost. And now Nick Foles is in Jacksonville. And now it's Carson Wentz's time again to lead his brethren. And also coming off like a fresh $100+ million extension as well, too. So I think for you, based off how I know you and what you've said before in the past, I don't think you like Carson Wentz, and I think you have concerns about his injury history, and because of that, you have concerns about the Philadelphia Eagles as a whole, too.
Yeah, when it comes to me and Carson Wentz, it's this easy. Even when he was playing last year, he only looked for Zach Ertz. Granted, he was still not the same. It's just we're expecting him to be the same once again, but he has still not shown that type of MVP year that he was having before he went out. He just hasn't looked like that because from last year, he truly doesn't look comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah.
And even what I've read, he's like so-so in training camp right now. He's so up and down with everything, and nobody knows if he's going to be good. Mm. I feel like him and Dak Prescott may have a very similar season.
Interesting. I think the Eagles have a really complete team.
They do.
This is such a talented team. I think it's probably like the deepest team in football. And I love their roster. I love their team.
Who's their running back, though? Because even in the preseason game,
it doesn't matter because their offensive line's so good.
Yeah, but the running backs were terrible.
Well, they have Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
They have Wendell Smallwood. They have Corey Clement.
They played like six running backs in the preseason.
And they drafted that running back from Penn State also.
The highest guy got like 3.7
yards.
Yeah,
but you're not starring like your best offensive line in a preseason game.
Yes, I'm just saying. It didn't look good with how many weapons and the deepest team in the league. And they also lost the game. So just saying for the deepest team.
You can't.
Hey, you said deepest team. I'm just throwing that out there to you.
You can't lose preseason games.
Either way, though, the Carson Wentz thing is interesting because now, Matt, did he deserve that extension? Would you have paid him that?
I wouldn't have done it yet.
Yeah.
No.
What the hell?
There's no need to.
Why would you?
Because this is year four.
And you would believe that he would actually be in the position where he would have to prove himself. It's like Philly wanted to give him the money in order to give him confidence.
I think so, too.
And that shows that he has a fragile mind.
Mm.
I think that's what that is showing me to where, just like the report last year as well, he's not the locker room guy.
Yeah.
People don't like him.
Well, I guess it's, I don't know. I know
the one thing about Dak, everybody loves him.
Well, also like Carson Wentz has had injury problems going back to college too, whenever he was in North Dakota.
Yeah. So you watched a lot of those games, North Dakota?
I watch him play like once a year, usually whenever they're in like the FCS championship, and I'm like at the gym and I like see it for 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay,
solid.
I was like, if I got into college football, this is the college football I would get into.
No, we're never betting on D whatever schools ever again in our lives.
I blocked that out of my memory.
Of course you did.
No, so you're talking about Zach Ertz. So Zach Ertz had 155 targets last year.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Aguilar was second with 97. So like, you know, you're saying it was. They sewed Zach Ertz's orifice closed and kept feeding him and feeding him and feeding him.
It's true.
And so, blah.
It's true. And it's because he didn't look at anybody else. He didn't trust anybody else. And they say it's just because that's his BFF. And it's the weirdest thing where you see Carson Wentz play that way. And then the moment Nick Foles comes in, everybody's getting the ball. Everybody's scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, okay. So his skill players... that Carson Wentz has. So his offensive line's great. It's Jason Peters. They trade up and took Andre Dillard.
Yeah, they've
won
the best offensive lines.
And Andre Dillard's, like, he's a pure, natural, and perfect pass blocker. The question is if he, you know, if he can learn how to, you know, run block pretty quickly. But the idea is he'll back up, learn how to run block. And, I mean, he's going to be a phenomenal pass blocker. He probably already is. His left guard is Isaac Suamalo. Jason Kelce at center. Brandon Brooks, right guard. Lane Johnson, right tackle. Zach Ertz, a tight end. So like, it's a great offensive line. Like it's a top five offensive line. Their skill players, though. Do you like their skill players? It's Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, J.J., Arega-Whiteside, which was the wide receiver they drafted. DeSean Jackson's back. Alshon Jeffrey, Jordan Howard, Nelson Aguilar, Miles Sanders, and then they have, you know, Jordan Howard as well, too. So like, I think it's a great group. Like, it's really solid. It's a... And, like, they also have, like, a player that hits every single, like, need or whatever, you know?
It's like they're not the best at their position, but they're all decent to where
they're
supposed
to. And they all do different things, too.
And they all do them very well. It's just, I don't know, because they're also old. DeSean Jackson, if he's the same speedster, okay, maybe Carson Wentz finally has somebody to bomb the ball to, even though he had Aguilar. I mean, who's faster?
Yeah.
I mean, Aguilar's not some, like, scrub that just can't run like Jackson.
Well, I mean, Aguilar still had a lot of targets last year. I think DeSean Jackson's going to be, like, 71 years old and still running 4.7.
Yeah, and that's also a big possibility if healthy. But, I mean, I really do like their skill players. Jordan Howard's a little more interesting to me because why did Chicago give him up if he's that great? They didn't seem like they wanted him anymore because he had that one great year.
Yeah.
After that great year, he kind of would have a semi-good game, and then a bad game.
Oh, I think also they just want guys who are better in space. Because Howard's like between the tackles, power back.
But that's what I'm
saying.
And
Chicago doesn't want that at all.
But Philly doesn't seem like they want that with their offense either. Because they want to like be moving the ball everywhere. They don't really want to slow things down.
No, I mean, like, but like Ajayi was great in that same sort of role where he's in between the tackles, running, broke a lot of tackles, you know?
Ajayi was
a better tackle breaker that year he was in Philly than Howard. But it's the same sort of idea, too. But yeah, like, I just like that, you know, you have Aguilar as a speed guy, you have the Shaq Jackson as a speed guy, you have Alshon Jeffrey, who's like, you know, your sideline receiver. Whiteside is also like, he's a sideline, like go up and get a possession receiver too. Ertz and Goddard, I think that's the best tight end combination you have in football. And then you have a power back in Howard. And then you got, you know, the other guys. And their other running backs
the other guys
very
are
good.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, last year they had like seven running backs run the ball.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And they tried it again in preseason, and none of those guys are good.
I think it'll be better this year.
Yeah, you better hope so, because otherwise Carson Wentz is going to be bombing the ball.
The funniest thing ever, though, is still Carson Wentz and how skinny he is. He needs that titty milk, dude.
Oh, my God, he does.
He needs that titty milk.
But he does love it, and at least he admits it. I just don't know, where do you get it? He
needs to fan that boy up. Yeah, they were 27th in rush offense DVOA last year.
Yeah, it's the same thing when it comes to Dallas, because everybody is picking either Eagles or Dallas. It's most likely
it's a real choose your fighter situation.
Everyone's still picking Philly over the Dallas because people hate us so much. But yet, when it comes to Philly this year, it all depends. Same thing with Dallas. It's both teams depending on their quarterback this year. It's which quarterback is going to be able to take that step, and which quarterback do you think is either going to stay the same or regress?
I guess the way I feel about the Eagles, though, and the reason why I feel better about them than Dallas.
Really?
Is that, yeah, I just don't think it, like, Wentz, of course, is important. You know, your quarterback's important, but I just think the entire team is so good here that the quarterback isn't as important for Philadelphia than it is, you know, for Dallas, I think.
But
I just think it's
still
a better,
had
it's
the
a,
weapons last year.
It's a better overall team.
They still had the weapons, and they still had a great defense
last
year.
They had a lot
of
injuries last year, and their defense was bad in the middle of the year.
Don't make up excuses.
Their secondary was really bad whenever you know, Darby and Mills got hurt. And then they brought in the young guys. They brought in LeBlanc. They brought in Vontae Maddox in. And they were bad. It's like the end of the year. And they were, I mean, spectacular. It was insane how good that they got in like 4 weeks.
I enjoyed the
and,
way you were talking before. Now I don't like
and it
you.
It changed on them and their defense. Like, wait, okay, so their defensive line, Brand Graham, Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox, Derek Barnett. They also have, I almost said Jimmy Jernigan. Timmy Jernigan. I do like Jimmy Jernigan, though. It's a great defensive line. They're so good at running stunts. I love the Malik Jackson signing. And they're also pretty interesting, too, in how they use their defensive line, how they blitz. They rush four, the second most in football, and they're like last in three rushers, last in five rushers, and they're eighth in six-plus rushers. So it's either rush four, big blitz, and that's it. It's one or the other. There's nothing in between at all.
Yeah, it's because it's what's-his-face.
It's Schwartz.
Yeah.
But like he just started blitzing last year. He never blitzed
really?
At all until
I thought
last
he
year.
Actually blitzed in Detroit all the time.
No, he was just four guys, and then he started blitzing last year.
I do not like Schwartz. Oh, my God.
He's a good coordinator.
Yeah.
You don't want to be your head coach, though.
Oh, no, you don't want to because he's a psychopath.
Yeah, he's an insane person.
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, he's a fine coordinator, I guess. I just wouldn't want to deal with him at all.
And they lost Chris Long. They lost Michael Bennett. They signed Vinnie Curry, but I think Malik Jackson signing is going to make up for losing Michael Bennett, mainly because of how good Fletcher Cox is, how good Brandon Graham is, and also just the way Malik Jackson can open them up. But I think the biggest thing also with the Eagles is their secondary, I think, is going to be really great. Because last year, Darby was a top 10 cornerback until he got hurt. Mills sucked, and he'll be back this year. But the key is that LeBlanc and Maddox were so good last year. And so if they are really good again this year, they have a great safety combination with Malcolm Jenkins and Ronnie McLeod, who was hurt last year too. And it's an awesome secondary. It's an awesome pass rush. Their linebackers are good. They signed Zach Brown this year. And I just love their defense. Like, dude, I love the entire team, and there's a question about Wentz. And I think the question about Wentz isn't as important because of how good their team is.
That's fair to say. The problem is they have to have an adequate backup to put in whenever Wentz goes down. And the whole idea when it comes to that defense, I agree with you. I don't understand. They always put, like, the right guys in the right places because even when they had the injuries, it's like what you said. The young guys started coming in, and it came with a couple of games. They needed to build the secondary because the secondary was terrible for like 3 games where they just got blown off the field.
Yeah.
But it was just because they were getting used to each other. Starting at the end of the year, they turned it around. Their secondary became dangerous. It's just, again, they had an adequate guy, and the entire team believed in Nick Foles. Do you think the team believes in Carson Wentz compared to Nick Foles? That's kind of my question.
I mean, I don't know what the answer is to that.
Did they build a shrine for Carson Wentz?
Did they build a shrine for Nick Foles?
They did.
What do you mean they built a shrine?
They built it. I'm almost positive it was Fletcher that built the shrine.
And
it was like a shrine in Nick Foles because he was honoring him.
That's cute.
But that's the whole idea. And when it comes to that defense, though, I expect it to be a top five. And I hate that.
Yeah.
Because that's why they're so frustrating, because I have to rely, and this is what sucks. That's why I keep saying this. I have to rely on Wentz being back, because otherwise my team is screwed.
Yeah.
And I have to have a perfect season from Dak then.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole team, actually. I have to have everybody signed. I have to have everybody out there healthy, not on drugs. Okay. I hate this season already.
So the Eagles, their big swoon on defense came from week 7. They had positive DVOA against them. Week 7 against Carolina. Week 8 against Jacksonville. Week 10 against Dallas, and that loss 27. Probably the best game of the year for Dallas, aside from the win against New Orleans. The Saints put up 48 points against them. The Giants put up 13, but they had positive defensive DVOA in that game. And then against Washington down the stretch, that's whenever it changed for them. And they won 3 games in a row to end the year, and then beat Chicago and lost to New Orleans. And the defense was a lot better in those games than the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love their defense. I love their offensive line.
If you love
so
much, why don't you marry it?
That's a lot of guys to marry, though.
Oh, yeah? So it sounds like that you like
It sounds exhausting.
Yeah, but it sounds like you can handle it.
I don't think so. I don't think I can handle it.
All I know is you talk better about the Philadelphia Eagles than you do your own team.
Yeah. Well.
See, my problem too. I have with Philadelphia is like same thing as like Schwartz, same thing with like Peterson. Just there's some like douchebag mentality that they have.
I like Peterson though.
God, I hate the Philadelphia Eagles.
Peterson's just a fat Don Draper.
And it's like they just. And what I love though is that they truly can't talk smack to me because no matter what, how much smack they talk about Dak Prescott, he still has more playoff wins than Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it's true. You know who else has more playoff wins than Carson Wentz?
Who?
Brock Osweiler.
Dude, Brock Osweiler. Talk about underrated.
You know who has more playoff wins than Carson Wentz?
Who?
Case Keenum.
Oh, Case. Oh, wait.
Everybody has more.
Hold on. We're getting into Case.
Carson Wentz has never won a playoff game.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's never won because he was injured.
You just say anybody.
But that's why you were just like, oh, he has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
And whenever people say it, it's just like, no.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything.
So which player are you most excited to watch? Or who do you think is the most – oh, so also real fast, their backup quarterback was Nate Sudfeld, like you mentioned. He was hurt. Kessler is the backup. So they had Sudfeld and Kessler in their quarterback room.
I'm going to say the player I'm most excited for is Kessler because I'm excited to see when he comes in the game. Okay. I'm just kidding.
That's a fair answer. As no, a Cowboys fan,
I'm
going to
say the one that I'm most excited for is – I don't want to say wins because I'm really not that excited to see. I'm going to say Zach Ertz only because I really do like him.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't –
He seems like a good guy too.
And I just hope they don't try to just force him. And he's so much better whenever you just like – rely on just passing it to everybody because then he gets more TDs.
Yeah, for sure.
And hopefully I can draft him in fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First round?
You know it.
I'm most excited to watch Brandon Brooks. Last year he tore his Achilles. He'll be back this year. He's like one of my five favorite players. I've loved him for a long time.
Loved him for a long time, huh?
The reason why I love – one of the main reasons why I love him so much, one, he's a lot of fun to watch play, of course, but – because I'm a hater and a loser, I got in so many arguments in like 2014 watching Texans games. Like, Brandon Brooks is really good and he's gonna be like a Pro Bowl guard for
a
long
time.
So
it's a pride thing.
Yeah, and then look at what happens. And the Texans chose Jeff Allen over him in free agency as well too. I was like, this is so stupid. This is the dumbest thing ever. Over $2 million, they didn't keep Brandon Brooks, and also he didn't like playing for Bill O'Brien as well either. And, you know, he's really loved being in Philly. And he's just a lot of fun to watch play.
Does anybody like playing for Bill O'Brien?
I don't know, dude.
I think you should take a poll. You know them, right?
So the over-under for the Philadelphia Eagles is 9 wins. What's your prediction? Would you take the over or the under?
I'm not taking anything. All right?
Nothing?
I'm not taking anything. Because I'm not betting under on that. I'm either betting that or I'm betting over. And I don't want to say over. So I'm going to put it at 9.
You put it at 9?
I'm putting it at 9. I'm just saying that's I wouldn't bet that because I'm just going to say they're going to win 9 games.
Yeah.
They're going to be 9-7.
I would smash the over.
Of course you would smash
one,
the over.
One, like, for sure lock. I'm putting the Eagles.
Oh,
I have 11 wins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel great about this team.
Oh,
and then
God,
Carson Wentz is
going to
get hurt week 2.
I hope they fail so bad now. I hope you jinx them.
Because, the year after the Super Bowl is always a bad year for every team except for the New England Patriots, you know? And, they rode a very choppy sea.
Last year wasn't bad
still,
for them.
I know, but, it was bad, but...
They made the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. It looked really
they
bad.
They beat Chicago.
I understand all that.
They did
I know
something.
All this, but I'm saying, it was, it looked bad, and they were able to ride the choppy waves, still make the playoffs, win a playoff game, and they probably should beat the Saints in that game as well, too.
Yeah, but, Matt, what was the key factor to last year?
Nick Foles,
Lord and Savior.
So yeah, I feel great about the Eagles. I have 11 wins. I'm winning this division.
I hope you fail. I hope that it's 9-7, and I hope they miss the playoffs.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So next up, we have the Washington football team. So I'm gonna come out and say it. I think this is gonna be the worst offense in football until Dwayne Haskins plays, and even if Haskins comes in, I've never watched Haskins play.
Did you see what he did in preseason?
No, I didn't see
it. Dude, he had 2 picks and
okay. And so even if
he had no touchdowns.
Whenever Haskins come in, it still may be the worst offense in the league. I think this is just it's atrocious.
It is
awful.
You know when they ask Gruden who's a quarterback, you know what he says?
What?
Shrugs his shoulders. I don't know.
They're gonna fire me next year anyway.
That's what it comes down to. Because Matt, who are you gonna start? Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, or Haskins?
I think you have to start Keenum. McCoy, they want to start McCoy so bad. They love
Gruden
McCoy.
Loves McCoy.
I don't know why.
Because he's a gunslinger.
He's not
and
a gunslinger.
He loves a gunslinger. Because
he grew up in a Texas town with only one stoplight, always yellow.
Always yellow. Yeah. He's the man. But seriously, he's going to play Case Keenum because he's the safe bet. And everybody knows he's the safe bet. So that's why he's going to get it. The only thing is, this team isn't going anywhere. And the fact that you have a quarterback problem still and you're deciding between three, that's not ever a good sign.
They're the only team in the league who doesn't know who their quarterback is right now. Everybody else knows.
Yeah, everybody else figured it out.
Yeah.
Even though some teams have picked wrong, Giants. But whenever it comes to the Redskins, what they should be excited for is they have, what's his name? Starts with a P. I'm trying to think. I'm blanking. Who's their running back? Perrine.
They have Perrine, and they also have the guy who was hurt last year who's going to be back this year. Darius Guys.
Yeah. And that's where it's going to be a little bit exciting to watch that to see how that plays out.
Because the offensive line's good.
Yeah. It's just their quarterbacks are bad and their receivers. I don't know one receiver, Matt. I know Jordan Reed, and apparently he's looking 100% healthy. Jordan Reed is the most overrated player I've ever seen in my life. And it's this easy why. You're a talent. But
yeah.
You will never stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because I think if you have a bruise, you are going out.
I mean, he's been hurt a lot.
I think
it's also concussions, too.
I don't know. No, man. Again, he threw a fist at a guy. It tapped the guy's helmet, and he fell to the ground. How does that happen? How does he fall to the ground?
Maybe he lives with a different set of physics, you know?
I don't know how that works.
I don't know. But like I said, the offensive line's good, and I forgot Trent Williams refuses to play there.
Did you hear why, though?
Yeah, the Redskins do this. I don't know what it is, but they always misdiagnose stuff. Everybody there is always brutally injured. Like, they just have the worst injuries in football.
Taken out of his skull, dude.
Yeah.
It was like a benign cyst or whatever.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they should get rid of him immediately because he even stated it has nothing to do with anybody but the organization and the training staff. I want to never come back to that place.
Until they fire the training staff, I'm not playing.
If that guy says that, obviously he's never coming back. That's not a player thing.
Yeah.
That's not a player dispute or coach dispute. That's a he hates you.
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
So they signed Donald Penn to take a spot.
That's not going to do anything, though.
And that doesn't work out. They're going to put Eric Flowers at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Flowers is, you know, probably the worst left tackle in football. Right now, Eric Flowers just stated
he hasn't bloomed in a
season. He's supposed to start left guard. He's never bloomed.
He hasn't bloomed in a season, man.
His least favorite Nirvana song is In Bloom.
Ooh.
Yeah,
It is, man.
But yeah, so their left side of the offensive line is terrible. You know, I say, like, the offensive line's good. And I mainly just say that because their center is good, Roulé. I don't even know how to say the name. It's some Cajun-looking name. And Brandon,
you're supposed to be a writer.
I know, but, like, I don't watch. I don't listen to the announcer, so I don't hear how these things are pronounced. And then I love Brandon Scherff, though. He's awesome. He's really good.
I don't know who that is.
He tore his pectoral last year.
Okay. You're just bringing up guys that are just injured last year. I'm supposed to know these guys.
Well, like, Washington was funny, too, because they were like, 6-2, and they were in first place in the division. And their whole team got hurt and fell apart.
Yeah, but one of the guys almost died, so.
And Alex, he had leg surgery and had an infection in that leg.
And you know what I don't want to hear is when he's like, yeah, I think I can maybe come back one day. Alex, hey, man, we're done.
Yeah, just be happy.
It's cool. It's cool. And Washington should still pay him, even though they're probably not.
They have to.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, because
it's the bags of money in front of him.
He owns. They owe him signing bonus money is the problem with that.
But yeah, you think Gruden's fired after this season then?
Yeah, he is. So Alex Smith, he's owed $35 million next season, and they can't come until 2021. So he's just going to hang on the sideline for at least 2 years.
Why would he even care about coming back then?
Yeah, I don't know. So Washington, start with the Houston game, when like their whole team got injured. They lost to Houston. They lost at Dallas. They lost at Philly. They lost to the Giants. They won in Jacksonville. Lost at Tennessee, lost to Philly. So they went, if my math is right here, they finished the year 1-6.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's what you want. And you know what?
Haskins they went from 6-3 to 7-9.
Haskins is definitely going to improve. So he is going to improve that team where they are going to become something.
You know, here's the problem with Haskins.
I don't think he's that good.
He's wearing that number. He's wearing the cursed number. He's wearing Theismann's number. Don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
You're playing with the gods. You can't be doing that.
He's trying.
He has a necklace with the number 15 on it. Don't do that. That's an affront to God. You're begging them. You're begging for your career.
You know what
to be
you're
destroyed.
Saying? You're saying,
come and get me. Come
you're
and take
giving
it.
The middle finger right now.
Yeah, don't do that. It's a terrible idea.
I don't know. I think he's just. Oh my gosh. He's gonna learn. The problem is though, he didn't look good. That's the only thing. And to be fair too. Would you really expect a first-round quarterback pick to lose in a quarterback competition against Colt McCoy?
Always maybe going to lose to Case Keenum, and Case Keenum was first in DVOA 2 years ago.
Yeah, but you were in love with Case Keenum. Do you remember when you argued that you loved Case Keenum?
I
that
never
he was
said,
your No, no.
I can't
okay.
remember the
all
argument.
Right, yeah.
Let's not
the
do
argument
this.
Was easily. You know why? Where it's about no, the no, Washington
yeah, yeah,
Redskins.
No, this is what the argument was. I said, I really like Case Keenum.
You said you loved him. You said he was like top quarterback.
No,
that you were like
no,
picking him. Or you were
what,
riding the Keenum
this
train.
This is what was misconstrued. I said I really like him as a player. And you go, oh, so you think he's the greatest ever? I said, no, I really like him and I really respect
you
that
he's your
able
favorite
to
player.
Career. That's what happened.
You said he's your favorite player
Maybe
to watch.
I said I loved him.
That's
I
what
know.
You said. You said he's your favorite player. If, said I want to marry you, Case Keenum.
If I was drunk when I said it, it's probably true.
You weren't drunk. You were sober.
Well, then I was lying. Yeah, so I think this is going to be the worst offense in football. So they're skilled players. Josh Doctson, it's never going to happen.
It's never, and it's the weirdest thing where
he can't get open.
And they want him saying that he's like the fastest guy alive and he's their speedster.
He can't get open.
But it's the weird, he's never getting like breakaways.
He's good for like one really cool go up and get it, jackpot. And
but he drops
cool
it.
No, he makes like one cool catch like every 5 weeks.
He usually drops a catch.
Jordan Reed, of course. Cam Sims is their slot receiver. Then they have a Trey Quinlet.
What?
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. His name's something like that. And then the running backs, Adrian Peterson, Darius Guys, Chris Thompson, and then the Perrine guy. And their running back group is good, but their entire left side of the offensive line is...
I think Peterson's going to be playing, though.
Yeah, he is.
No, they're going to start Guys over him.
They're going to give Peterson 300 carries this year.
No, they're not. They're not going to give him the ball.
But yeah, and so it's an awful offensive line. And right now, Colt McCoy, I think, is in the running. He's like his head slightly ahead of Case Keenum's, I think, at the moment.
Whenever you look up like the stats of what they did, they were all just like, God. It's because Case Keenum, I think, is the only one that didn't turn the ball over. If I remember correctly, it's either him or Colt. But
shoot him for the stars.
Well, it's more like you're just playing it safe. And they're just not going anywhere. And I don't even think Gruden likes Haskins. I just think that if you're picking a quarterback that early, you better be prepared to start him. Same thing with New York. I just don't get
I'm fine sitting him.
I don't like the drafting and storing in a first round.
So my problem is that if you're going to draft and store, then you don't do things like give Landon Collins $20 million a year. Like,
yeah,
why?
Because he's good.
Yeah, you can sign a guy like that 3 years whenever you're ready to compete.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
They're ready now.
Yeah, that's what I don't like. I do like their defensive line, though. I like Matt Ioannidis. I like Darren Payne, De'Aaron Payne. I like Jonathan Allen. I love the Montez Sweat pick. I like Ryan Kerrigan a lot, too. Ryan Kerrigan, that guy does a lot of curls.
He's huge. By the way, isn't Montez Sweat the guy that I think is going to prison?
No.
Which one's that one?
That's the guy the Titans took, but he's not going to prison.
Oh, no, he's going to prison.
No, he's not.
I thought Montez Sweat was going to prison.
No, he's not. Montez Sweat was the guy who just, like, had the Jadeveon Clowney combine and was just spectacular.
Oh,
he weighed,
that's
like, 280 and ran, like, a 4.4.
I remember now.
Yeah.
I just...
They had a great draft, though.
Yeah. I just don't think Gruden's a good coach.
I think he's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
I think
he's never taken you anywhere. I feel like Jason Garrett, but he's in the Jason Garrett, Bill O'Brien squad. That's who the new squad is. They're the team.
I think Gruden would be great as like the offensive coordinator for the Lions. Like, I think he would be great for like Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. I love that man.
Okay. So the Redskins also, since 2015, their record, 9-7, 8-7-1, 7-9, 7-9. And so, like, there's enough talent on defense for the defense to be good. They'll be like in the upper half of the league.
7-9.
Yeah, I know. Like, I think this is the worst offense in football, though. And
yeah,
so
but you're saying
problem.
That the defense is going to be able to at least stop.
And they play such an easy schedule too.
If they put in Colt McCoy, they're going places.
I don't want to watch him play.
Colt McCoy, the gunslinger.
He almost beat Dallas that day.
Dude, Colt McCoy's a gunslinger. He's the real deal. I don't know why you think I'm just like full of it. He's better than Case Keenum.
No, that's not true.
Wait, what is Case Keenum getting paid right now?
he got traded over from Denver. He's probably making at least $11 million.
No, he's not. Because what was Minnesota paying him?
Minnesota didn't pay him. They were paying him nothing. And then he signed with... Then he signed with the Broncos, so he's still in his Broncos contract.
Ooh. Man, I bet he gets paid like over $20 million.
No, I can't remember.
If you're Case Keenum, you won.
Dude, yeah, he did win. He went from being a... He was a
all
practice
because of that
squad
catch?
Guy. Yeah. Well, he was also the most efficient quarterback in football. No, he's actually... He has a one-year, $3.5 million contract right now.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
I have that contract
because
right now.
Because he signed a two-year, $36 million contract with Denver, but it was all front-loaded for last year, for 1 year. So it's pretty much a one-year contract that he had.
That's good. At least he got paid for that year.
Yeah.
Man, talk about just winning the jackpot. Because he's going to be a great backup. He's just never going to be the starter guy.
Yeah, it's fine.
But just like you said, though. He's the greatest, right?
Yeah, he went from a practice squad guy.
No, stop. You need to admit that you were wrong.
No, I'm not wrong because I said I really like him.
No, just admit that you were wrong.
I'm glad he made it happen.
No, you're not glad that he made it happen.
Yeah, I am.
This is not so...
We're arguing about
just admit you
if
were
I
wrong.
Like him or not.
No, that's not.
I never
you
said
were
he
bragging
was great.
About him.
He had a great season in Minnesota that year.
And I told you, no, he's garbage.
He had a great season in
Minnesota.
I told
you he was garbage.
He had
was
a great
I right?
season in Minnesota.
Was I right?
I think he's somewhere in between.
Okay.
Great
no, he's
and
not,
garbage.
No.
He's somewhere in between those two
he's
things.
He's trash.
Trash. So who are you excited to watch here for Washington?
Nobody.
Nobody?
Who are you excited to watch?
I mean, I do like their front seven.
To be honest with you, it's guys. That's the only thing that I'd be watching. Only okay. Because they were big on him whenever
they
drafted.
Huge on
yeah.
Him. Matthew Barry was like... This guy's gonna be a star.
Exactly. And they were all blowing up about him. And he was like picked in so many drafts, things like that. So I'm excited to watch him.
Have you ever read Matthew Barry article and was like, oh, it's a good point. And then like you stuck with that and it helped your fantasy team?
No.
No, never either.
Never. And also, it's the weirdest thing that he gets that job.
Because he was the first one to do it.
But I want that job, and anybody could do that job, because all you're saying is, I like this guy because I think he's going to do
because
this.
Because this nerd gave me a stat that I read on the television.
And also because the sun is going to be out on the exact moment that I need it to be.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
I don't know.
It's fantasy football, man.
Yeah, he's never... I just... The other
just remember, slipped on ice, Matt.
The other sad thing is that the only thing I remember Matthew Barry for was whenever he's like, Cordell Patterson's going to be a top five wide receiver, top 10 fantasy player every single year from this year on. And no, it never happened.
Yeah, you're going to pick him this year.
He,
like
he did
two.
Like his 100 things, and 10 of the things are about how Cordell Patterson's going to be the next great wide receiver. And so that's all I remember about Matthew Barry. Like, people always remember how you fail. They don't remember how you succeed, you know?
I don't know how he succeeded, though.
It's all hate about hating and losing this economy.
I wonder when he succeeded. Because I've taken some, like, his things that he says, and damn, he is wrong.
Yeah.
I can't remember who. Oh, it was Marcus Mariota. He was the reason why I drafted Mariota.
Oh, really?
I will always remember that. He's like, I think Mariota's going to be a top 10 quarterback this year. And I was like, you know what? I can see it too, Barry. I can see it too. And guess what? He was freaking wrong.
No.
Dude, that made me so mad. That's why I drafted him that 1 year. I listened to freaking Matthew Barry.
Damn. Yeah, so they're projected to win six games this year. The over-under 6.5. And I guess my players, I'm most excited to watch Sweat and Kerrigan. And also, I do like Allen and Payne because they're great run stoppers. Like, it's a fun front seven.
You're
it's
not
going to
watch any
seven.
Redskins game.
Yeah, I will.
No, you're not.
I do like their colors, though.
You only oh, okay.
And I have some heart attached to because I lived in Manassas.
You're only going to watch him in Case Keenum as a starter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Case Keenum's a starter. You're watching.
Like I said, I try to watch every game of the week. I try.
Oh, okay.
And maybe I don't get to as many Redskins games. We'll see, though.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think you're going to get to one.
No, I'll get to... I'll probably watch at least four.
You're not getting anything.
Yeah, I probably will.
You're full of it.
So, they're projected for 6.1 wins over under 6.5. What do you got here?
I'm going to put over because I'm going to put them at 7-9.
Really?
That's what I'm going to do.
Dang.
Over 7-9. I also don't have Philadelphia Eagles winning 13 games like some people.
I said 11 games.
Whatever.
I'm going to say the under. I'm going to say they win 5.
Ooh.
I think the streak gets broken. I think Gruden gets fired. I think...
Why would he get fired? He's a genius.
I think this is going to be the worst offense in football.
Oh, my God. If he gets fired, would then John Gruden hire him? and then you have the Grudens on this same going to Vegas. The Grudens in Vegas. Oh, my, this is destiny now.
It becomes like the Hugh Jackson thing.
That's exactly what it is.
Like, he gets fired, and then he immediately goes to Oakland, and then the Raiders are playing the Redskins.
And then it just becomes, man, the Gruden brothers, they're part of the Raiders. Oh, God. I'm excited.
I feel like we should be watching Hard Knocks after this.
We should be.
Okay. Well, so I guess to recap really fast, so for Dallas, I have them winning 10 games. You have them winning 10 games.
Copier.
For the New York Giants, I have them winning 5 games. You have them winning 4 games.
Duh.
So do you think them or Miami is going to be, is going to get the number one pick?
No, I'm picking New York.
You're picking New York?
I'm picking New York.
I'm picking Miami. And then for Philadelphia, you have 9 wins. I have 11 wins. And for Washington, I have 5 wins. You have 7 wins.
There it is.
So there's the NFC East. I think it's going to be a 2-horse race.
Me too.
And I think it's, I mean, like, the NFC East is always like kind of fun because these teams have been playing each other for, you know, 150 years now.
In this horse race, the Eagles are a pony. Dallas is a stallion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they an Arabian?
Oh, an Arabian stallion. Ooh. Yeah. I love that.
All right. So that's our show for tonight. This is NFC East. The season previews will keep on rolling with the NFC South.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.